Listen to the voices of our world.
The instincts of America as freedom-loving and that America is a country that spreads freedom and all the rest of it, regardless of how that works out in practice, is in conflict with what the country's actually doing.
If you're a black voter, the chance that your vote will not be counted for some weird technical reason is 900% higher than if you're a white voter.
There was a sense, close as it was, that this must be where a large section of America must want to go. So there was a kind of disappointment, and for those who were arguing, look, Bush does not represent America, well, that position had to be somewhat nuanced after that.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. War in Iraq, tax cuts for the rich, gas prices, government corruption, partisan politics, the deficit, Katrina, our energy policy, or lack thereof. It doesn't take a genius to determine that our country may not be headed in the right direction. The infamous right track, wrong track question consistently shows that the great majority of Americans are skeptical about the path America has currently taken. In fact, the most recent poll shows that 65% of Americans believe their country is on the wrong track. But what does the fact that many Americans are losing confidence in their country's future tell us about how Americans view themselves and their country? Many on the right wish to portray these discontented Americans simply as Bush haters, with a warped desire to bring down their own country and a yearning to impose progressive programs on the masses. These people supposedly blame America first and distrust the notion of America as a benign force in the world. They would prefer to cut and run instead of fighting the enemy. In fact, they see us as the enemy. But as the events of the past few years have shown, the Bush administration has actually done more to damage the image of America and dent the confidence of American citizens than Cindy Sheehan, Michael Moore, and George Clooney combined. As America continues to veer off track in the eyes of many, we are compelled to examine who and what forces led us astray in the first place. Today we take a deeper look into how America's self-image has suffered at the hands of those responsible for its defense. Our guests are authors Greg Palast and Gary Young of The Guardian newspaper. Generally speaking, Americans tend to be an optimistic people with positive beliefs about their country and their future. So what happened? What could explain this recent rise in cynicism and negative feeling? In his new book, Armed Madhouse, Greg Palast argues that the Bush administration has been the main culprit. Far from a conspiracy theorist, Palast systematically examines how the immoral and sometimes illegal activities of the Bush administration have led to our current quagmires, economically, militarily, and politically. The tragic consequences of these failed policies and dubious political practices are seen and felt worldwide, from the Iraqi civilian casualties in the War on Terror to the disenfranchised black voters in Ohio. Both are victims of the Bush administration's repeated attempts to consolidate its power and wealth at the expense of the middle class and poor. Yet many Americans continue to remain oblivious to the actions of their own government, choosing instead to trust what their elected officials tell them, to concentrate on divisive wedge issues, or even worse, to simply ignore the truth. Well, the truth is out there, and it's not pretty. Voices of Our World's Kathy Golden speaks with Greg Palast.
They didn't just carry out a coup d'etat, Bush and his brother in Florida, in 2000. That wasn't a one-shot deal. That emboldened them to set up a vote-bending system. It's now systemic. Under cover of something that they call, that the president signed, called the Help America Vote Act. Now, as soon as the Bush family tells us they're going to help us vote, we've got some problems, okay? So in 2000, I uncovered that thousands of black folk were purged from the voter rolls of Florida before the election on the grounds they were felons and their only crime was voting while black. Now, what happened in 2004? We were back in Purgeville in Florida, and it went nationwide. That was really uncovered. That was not covered in the U.S. press. It just didn't happen. But it happened again. So this massive racial challenge. And by the way, they did have about 2% on the list were majority Jewish precincts of Florida, because they said, aha, more Democrats. So it's not about color, really. It's really these, they just don't like the color of the vote. They know who they're going after. There's a whole new system using these data banks. And so they claim they have a reasonable basis for challenge, but they weren't. It was a fake, okay? What they did is something else, which is just crueler, dumber, easier, and completely effective. It's an old trick, okay? So that you had, and it wasn't new to here. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, they didn't have to bring the new machines in. They just left them there knowing that they were broken. For example, in Ohio, Ken Blackwell, the Secretary of State, who's also chairman of the Bush reelection campaign, right? You know, two hats, one head, or two heads, two hats, depending on how you look at him.
How does even something like that not get challenged? What?
Okay, so what happens is that this guy knew, he put in writing, we know that there are bad voting machines in minority areas in Cleveland, in Akron. We know that they're there. And if we hold this election, that there's going to be a loss of minority votes, what they call spoilage, votes that literally don't record properly in the machines, by the hundreds of thousands. He knew it. He wrote it. He said it. We have the documents in the mail. Even the ACLU sued about it before the election.
Yeah.
And nothing was done about it. And those voters went in. They not only... machines broke down, hours and hours of waiting, but what was worse, people who got the machines didn't realize that those machines holding up the lines were not recording their votes. You had this huge non-count of votes. In fact, officially, votes cast not counted for president of the United States in 2004. Election Information Agency, if you go to the raw data, which is what I do, 3.6 million votes cast not counted. 3.6 million. Now, we call it spoilage. They say, well, it's just a couple percent. 3.6 million in the right place. But see, if we're random, like, you know, yes, in any election, a ballot's going to mess up. A machine won't record the vote. You'll touch the touch screen. You didn't touch it correctly. No, you know, no one, you know, no fix, no muss, no fuss. Okay, it happens. But it don't just happen. You have to look at the statistics. If you're a black voter, the chance that your vote will not be counted for some weird technical reason is 900% higher than if you're a white voter. Hispanic, 500% higher than if you're a white voter. Native American, this turned out to be a huge effect on the election, like about 2,000% higher than if you're a white voter. We have an apartheid election system in the United States, but it's done statistically. In Gadsden County, Florida, which had the worst voting record in Florida, 1 in 8 votes eaten by the machines. The only county in Florida which is majority black, 1 in 8 votes lost to the machines in 2000. Those people voted for a black woman to take over the elections office. She bought new machines used exactly in the next white county. And in the next election, less than 1 in 1,000 votes was lost. Almost nothing.
This is Voices of Our World. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the current direction of America and whether or not we have been led off track by the Bush administration in particular. The frequently cited right track, wrong track polling question is often used as an indicator of the growing unrest in America. But are we as Americans truly able to judge ourselves and diagnose our own problems in an unbiased manner? Sometimes it's quite helpful to receive an outside opinion from a trusted ally, someone willing to speak truth to power and who's not afraid to ruffle our feathers. Well, today we are lucky enough to have the opportunity to hear some vitally needed, honest feedback about our culture, our government, and ourselves. Author Gary Young is an Englishman living in New York whose recent book, Stranger in a Strange Land, Encounters in the Disunited States, tackles the complexity and contradictions of American society, politics, and culture. And we just might benefit from hearing what he has to say.
Let's go back to the 2004 election. What do you think the Bush presidency says about America, the fact that this man was elected twice? Is it sending the world a message about American preference and taste?
Most people around the world were disappointed. You know, the polls show that most people around the world did not want Bush to win. And there was a sense that 2000, first of all, he didn't really win. And secondly, that was before the war and September 11th, so it was a very different context. But that now, in 2004, Americans had seen everything. They'd seen the war in Iraq. They'd seen their country defy the United Nations, as the Brits had done. They'd seen Abu Ghraib. That this sense of a loss of them, there are only so many times you can lose your innocence.
Let's fast forward, I guess, 20 years. Let's put our clairvoyant hats on and go forward 20 years. Do you see America as being even more isolated? What do you anticipate happening in the next 20 years, if you can possibly foresee the future?
I mean, I think that largely depends on to what extent it's prepared to learn from its mistakes and from the things that it does well. If it continues on the current kind of military path that it has been the last few years, then I think it would be both completely isolated and completely vulnerable. But the other thing is economic. In 20 years' time, my guess is that we'll be talking a lot more about China, that sooner or later the economic chickens are going to come home to roost here, which is that America is running the show on other people's money. And that's only sustainable for so long. So there will either be a sharp reduction in Americans' living standards, or there'll be some kind of miraculous discovery and a kind of huge increase in productivity, or America will decline in its global power, because we've seen it as only so far you can go militarily, and then after that is economics. And if you don't have the leverage to bully and cajole and persuade countries to do certain things, and the political will isn't there for kind of military intervention, then really your influence is gone. And I stop with a story. I lived in the Soviet Union for 6 months while it was still the Soviet Union. And the woman that I lived with used to walk her dog every night at 9 o'clock. I had no idea why. And one night I went out with her to walk the dog and saw that everybody else was walking their dog. And I said, "What is it with everybody walking their dog at 9 o'clock? And she said, "We call it the dog hour, Sobachi Chas." And I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Because the state news is on and we don't want to watch the state news. So we all walk the dog." At that time, the Soviet Union had massive amounts of military power. It had lots of power, but it had lost all influence. People stopped believing in it as an idea. And so it was only a matter of time before it was sunk. If you have power without influence, there's only so far you can go. And actually, you can go on for quite a long time. Look at North Korea. But your time is nonetheless limited. And that is the big worry for America on its current path, is nobody disputes the power, but increasingly the influence has waned because of the way that it's used their power.
Are Americans honest with themselves? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.